Well, as I got on the ground here and began to know what Houston's all about and its complexities, and then to learn our resources here at Houston Baptist, the idea of working out the implications of the Lordship of Jesus Christ began to take shape in terms of offering a Christ-centered biblical education that is for the church, that is for the academy, but is also for the city. And so the Christ-centered biblical education, we have phenomenal biblical scholars, we've already touched on that, but it's all focused on Christ. Mm-hmm. That is our central confession. But I want to see this worked out in the churches. Mm-hmm. And so we have the seminary, but I also want to reach into the pre-seminary students.
That's good.
So those who are struggling with the call of God, they're in churches, they're sitting in the pews, and they sense God leading them to lead somehow the church. So we want to bring them on campus.
Welcome to Think About It, a podcast from Houston Baptist University here in Houston, Texas. At HBU, we empower our students so their beliefs can fuel their lives. From our competitive nursing programs to our world-renowned theologians, we prepare our students to thrive at the university level and beyond. And now we join our host, Dr. Jerry Johnston, with today's guest.
Houston Baptist University is well known for its School of Christian Thought. And today it's our honor to introduce our dean, Dr. Todd Bates. He's not only the dean at HBU's School of Christian Thought, professor of theology, Dr. Bates is particularly interested in Christianity within culture. He's written broadly on areas of philosophy, theology, rhetoric, and education. As an ordained Southern Baptist minister, he's pastored several churches, and in addition to the School of Christian Thought's renowned programs on campus and online, students also can learn through the Houston Theological Seminary, all under the leadership of Dean Bates. Welcome to HBU.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
We're glad you're here, man. Everybody likes you. I hear so many good things about you.
Well, they've probably been talking to my mama or my wife, too.
And you were born where?
In South Alabama, Mobile, Alabama.
Mobile, Alabama. I have several friends there. Remember Fred Wolf in Mobile?
Yeah, absolutely.
And
yes.
A number of others. And then you went to Orlando?
Mm-hmm. That's where I grew up. We moved there about when I was 5 or 6 years old.
And what church in Orlando?
First Baptist Winter Park.
Yeah, sure.
J.C. Mitchell is
the
pastor.
Yeah, I knew him. Mm-hmm. And you've come to HBU from?
California Baptist University.
In Riverside. Mm-hmm. Good.
Yeah, indeed.
Good. Well, here we are at the School of Christian Thought, HBU. There's a lot of dynamic scholars.
Mm-hmm. Indeed.
Give us your overview.
They are phenomenal. So we begin with the top of the depth chart will be Dr. Craig Evans. Mm-hmm. That's an incredible scholar. I think he's written more books than I've read in the last year. So yeah. He just continues to churn them out, does phenomenal scholarship in the origins, the origins of Scripture and the historical narratives. Then you got Dr. Ben Blackwell, who's a phenomenal scholar, does crossover in Pauline study and New Testament studies and theology. So Christosis is his book. And then Tim Brookins, phenomenal scholar in terms of the classics, so the Stoic philosophy and the early Christianity and Pauline studies. We got a phenomenal classicist. He is very gifted, Stephen Jones. Mm-hmm. Wonderful leadership he's given to our classics program. We actually have to double up on our sections of Latin, if you can imagine that. That's how gifted a scholar he is, a gifted teacher too. And we could go on and on and on. They're just, every office I stop in is filled with a scholar that is doing really incredible work. So it's a privilege to be here.
Yeah, well, we're really glad that you're here. Now, HBU has an apologetics online program.
Indeed.
That's mm-hmm. extremely popular. And I want to remind everybody that apologetics is the fulfilling 1 Peter 3:5, to be ready always to give an answer of the hope that lies within you with gentleness and meekness. And the graduate master's program of apologetics of the School of Christian Thought has just has students globally.
It does indeed.
Tell us about that.
Students from all over the world. So it's not just a regional online program. We reach to the farthest reaches of the internet. So it takes us all over the world. It's a program designed to help people in residency to answer the deep questions about the faith. So whether you're a Bible study leader, whether you're a school teacher, or whether you're just somebody who wants to know how to talk to your neighbor, this is a great program. And you don't have to be a top-notch scholar. Now, we do have great scholars involved with it, but we have two two ways of approaching apologetics, both philosophically, which is where we have William Lane Craig, one of the leading apologists, mm-hmm. one of the world-renowned apologists. So you can come study with him. But we also have a cultural approach to apologetics, which deals with literature and art, the kind of things you encounter day by day. And so that is led by Michael Ward, Nancy Piercy. Phil Talon is the chair, great young scholar himself, giving great leadership to this. So it's a dynamic program that I'm very excited about.
You know, the word theology is an extremely important word. And, you know, I was listening to a podcast recently of an evangelical leader who basically said we need to move away from theology. And he was talking about, you know, the accent of the advent of the church was the resurrection, mm-hmm. which indeed is true. Mm-hmm. But I think we both would agree that our culture is theologically starved. And to borrow J.I. Packer, you knowing God, mm-hmm. we know theology, it changes everything.
Indeed.
Now explain that.
All right. Well, your thoughts on God are where you begin all other thoughts. Mm-hmm. And how you think about Him will shape everyday life. It will shape your deepest theoretical thoughts. And so to move away from theology is indeed to shift from a solid foundation onto sand. And so I would not encourage that at all. Now, we do need to be mindful of the resurrection. So theology, narrowly understood, can lead to little cul-de-sacs along the way. So people get stuck in there and they can't think beyond their noses. And so the resurrection reminds us that theology is a big picture. So theology is very front and center in the resurrection. For it is God the Father, by the Spirit, that resurrects God the Son. And so that bears witness to the depths of theology, and that we can't think rightly about the resurrection without thinking fully theologically.
Mm-hmm. Give us your background, your theological training and journey. Mm-hmm. I read in the Houston Chronicle, did a story on you when you first came, but I wanted to kind of hear it from your own lips.
Sure. Well, I grew up in a typical Southern town, our typical Southern home, where church was part of who we were. So we got our do's and don'ts from the Bible and said our prayers before the meals. But it didn't go much deeper than that. And so as I got into my teen years, you began to push back on some of the rights and wrongs, do's and don'ts. And I kept asking, so why is this the right thing to do? And I would be told, well, the Bible says so. And indeed it did, but nobody could ever explain to me why the Bible told me that this is the best way to live. So like most young knuckleheads, I kind of did my own thing and bumped my head lots and lots of times and came to a point where I was just really frustrated with life. I realized that I was not the man I wanted to be. So there was a nobility that I knew was within humanity, but mm-hmm. I did not see it reflected in who I was. So I was really beginning to wrestle with what it meant to be human, what the good life was. And so I went back to Scripture and began to open the Bible and to read it. And God peeled back my heart. So He allowed me to see all those creeping, dank things that are hidden in the dark, and it unnerved me. So I learned a little bit about myself, but I didn't see how deep my ignobility went. And so God allowed me to see that in light of His holiness, and I was undone. And it was one of those moments where you really think, God, You are perfectly just, and You could condemn me in Your wrath for all eternity, and I could say nothing for it. I could say nothing against it. You would be just. And then He allowed me about a week or so later to see the fullness of His grace to me in Christ. And man, I flew to the cross. And I wanted to know at that point, how can God, that is holy and just, love me like that? And so that became the goal of my life. So every trajectory I was on shifted to focus simply on knowing the God who loved me. And somebody, a blessed soul, gave me Knowing God by J.I. Packer very early on. And so that has shaped my quest. So my life has been.
It
has.
I mean, that particular bit. Yes. Same for me.
Yes. And so it set that goal for me that I'm still pursuing, mm-hmm. knowing the God who loves me in mm-hmm. Jesus Christ.
You know, I love Packer's presentation that when you get on the couch of God's grace and mm-hmm. and understanding, you know, that are like you react differently. Mm-hmm. And we have people today, unfortunately, who focus on the problem and they never focus on God. Mm-hmm. And so they live such a subjective experience. Mm-hmm. Now, so theologically, where were you trained and what were the steps you took?
Right, so my undergraduate, I finished up at the University of Central Florida in psychology because mm-hmm. I wanted to know the soul. I wanted to know the soul, and so I studied psychology and then went to Beeson Divinity School, Stanford University, mm-hmm. and met Dr. Timothy George.
Oh, yeah.
And I was captivated by who he was, and he shaped me from the get-go. He took a young preacher boy who didn't know any better and sat down with me for an hour, answered questions that I didn't even know I was asking. And so at that point, I left his office and said, this is where I want to come study. Mm-hmm. And so I did. And so I encountered Dr. Timothy George, studied with him, Dr. Frank Thielman, and Gerald Bray. These men shaped me very deeply. And so graduating from Beeson, went to pastor back in Orlando, had a great 2-year stint pastoring a suburban church, learning what it meant to love people and to preach the gospel. Mm-hmm. But I knew that God was calling me to the life of the mind. I also knew it would never leave the focus of the church, but it was time to pursue my education. And so we went to the University of Texas, Arlington. There was a lady there who was studying the interaction between ancient rhetoric and the early church. And so I was fascinated by how language is used to understand reality and then the highest reality of God. And so it was a crossover between epistemology, metaphysics, and theories of language.
Wow.
Primarily focused on St. Augustine. Mm-hmm. And so the conclusion of all my study was that, well, language really shouldn't work without the Logos. And so all the language that we use every day is rooted fundamentally in the second person of the Trinity.
Was that your PhD?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
That's what it was focused on.
Beautiful. Such a unique and distinctive one.
It is an interesting, it's prepared me better than I could have imagined. So this is testimony to the sovereignty of God. So I'm stumbling and fumbling along the way, and he takes and uses these things for his glory.
And so from Arlington to Riverside?
No, I went through Criswell College. So I was pastoring in Northeast Collin County while finishing up my PhD.
Okay.
And Dr. Richard Wells, who had been my professor of preaching at Beeson, went to be president of Criswell. And so I went and started teaching with them adjunctively, and things went really well, and they needed somebody to come in and teach philosophy and theology. So I started there and spent 7 great years teaching great young minds, mm-hmm. and then went to Patrick Henry College for a short stint in a classical liberal arts mm-hmm. College, and then from there went out to Southern California, where I had 2 Beeson friends that served there. So they mm-hmm. needed somebody to bridge the gap between theology and philosophy departments. And that just kind of fit my training, but also the cut of mind.
And what drew you to Houston Baptist University?
First is Dr. Sloan mm-hmm. And the vision that he has implemented here with the 10 pillars. So it's a comprehensive university rooted in the great liberal arts tradition. Now that's an uncommon pairing, but it's one that is very dynamic and it's challenging every day.
Right.
So I love the mission statement that is tied up with our central confession, that Jesus Christ is Lord. So everything we do day by day is to try to work out the implications of that, both in the classroom, in the library, in the study, even dealing with people day by day. So eating together, sharing meals together, going out and interacting with our society together. So working out the implications of that Christ-centered vision was very, very appealing to me. And then to do so in the heart of a remarkable city. Houston is incredible. Mm-hmm. I mean, it is large, it is complex, it is multi-ethnic, it is demographically a absolutely stunning city. So I'll go to the grocery store and I'll hear 4 or 5 languages, mm-hmm. 2 of which I've never heard before. And so it is just thrilling to try to implement that vision of Christ-centered vision in a city like Houston.
And we do want to just reiterate that mission or confession statement, the mission statement. The mission statement of Houston Baptist University is to provide a learning experience that instills in students a passion for academic, spiritual, and professional excellence as a result of our central confession, Jesus Christ is Lord. You know, in my opinion, that's what makes HBU distinct. And in a unfortunately, a morally corroding culture, you can go to a bunch of universities, and get a degree, and get one of the best. But if you don't have a faith component that increases your character,
right.
you're leaving really deficient. Mm-hmm. And the more I see culture shifting like it is, the more important. And you mentioned the 10 pillars. You know, that's a rhetoric you hear often on Think About It. Pillar one, build on the classics. Pillar two, recruit for national influence. Pillar three, embrace the challenge of Christian education. Pillar four, establish a residential society of learning. Pillar five, increase our cultural impact through our faculty. Six, renew our campus, renew our community. Seven, bring Athens and Jerusalem together. I'm going to have you touch on that in a minute. Pillar eight, expand our commitment to the creative arts, visual, musical, and literary. Nine, cultivate a strong global focus. 10, move to the next level as an institution. Pillar seven, bring Athens to Jerusalem. Right. Tell us what that means.
All right, well, they stand for Athens, the great classical culture, and Jerusalem, the centrality of theology, of God, of Jesus Christ. Now, if you understand the conjunction between the two, that's our central confession. Jesus Christ is Lord. And so if that is true, then there is no part of our society, there's no part of learning, there's no part of the world that isn't influenced by that. Mm-hmm. And so as Christians, this should be an open invitation to study anything and everything. As my intellectual mentor, St. Augustine, said, all truth is God's truth, or truth, wherever it is found, is God's. Mm-hmm. And so whether it's in biology, whether it's in psychology, whether it's in art, whether it's in literature, there God's presence should be found. And if we attune our eyes to be attentive to those things, then we will see that Jesus Christ is indeed Lord. So that's part of what it means to bring Jerusalem and Athens together. It's to understand the truth of God and the centrality of our confession, that Jesus Christ is Lord.
You know, Prothera at Boston University has a book called Religious Literacy, mm-hmm. and he's the religion chair there, and he says that basically that America, historically, was a culture that was just totally intoxicated in theology. Mm-hmm. And that one of the reasons why we have such a distinct Christian heritage is that our forefathers went to pulpits, primarily in New England colonies, mm-hmm. where ministers presented sermons that were virtual treaties on mm-hmm. theology.
Right.
They catechized the fathers of the Republic in theology. And then we see that brought to government. Mm-hmm. Are you concerned about the lack of theology today that's being communicated in the average church?
Yeah, so there's two approaches, I might say. First, we all do theology, whether we know it or not. So every human being has thoughts about God, and that influences what they do every day. So the question isn't really whether theology happens. It's whether we do it well, whether we do it intentionally.
Sure.
And that's the unfortunate part, is I think sometimes we set aside the academic study, we set aside the depths of theology, because we don't think it's necessary. But that doesn't mean that we aren't participating in some kind of theological perspective. And so the day by day, we are living out our theology. It's just unintentional, or it's just by happenstance. It's piecemeal together. And so I would much prefer, if I'm going to live my life, to live it intentionally and to focus on what it is that makes a difference day by day. Mm-hmm. And so it's not a matter of whether we do theology. It's a matter of whether we're going to do it well and whether we're going to do it intentionally.
The School of Christian Thought at HBU is just so many opportunities to grow. Every layman that's serious about growing in their faith, the Houston Theological Seminary of HBU that is on the campus of Second Baptist Church and soon to be on Second West, and available online globally through HBU Online. Give me your opinion. I mean, I think really learning is a lifelong.
Yes,
I mean,
indeed.
You don't finish with the quote degrees that hang on our wall, but we keep on learning. There's an opportunity for all kinds of people to engage in the School of Christian Thought.
That's
Give
right.
an example of who could and how they could.
Right. Well, you mentioned Houston Theological Seminary. And so you have this high level of academic preparation in conjunction with a high level of ministry competence. So you have some of the great ministers who've been in the church for many, many years, putting their shoulders side by side, hurting people, helping them understand what the gospel means day by day. And so it is that collaborative partnership that has me so excited. So we do offer graduate classes on the campus at Woodway and also soon to be in the West Campus. But it's further than that. So it's not just credit-seeking students that are,
right.
Have this option available to them, but it's through also the program we call the Surveyors. So Surveyors are people who are interested in this lifelong learning and the depths of theological studies, biblical studies, of leadership. So they're interested in deepening the well, so to speak, that they can minister more effectively to their neighbors. So Surveyors have the option of coming and sitting in on these classes. They don't have to get worried with seeking credit or worried about transcripts or taking exams. They can participate as fully in the class as they would like to. So all the readings are available, all the lectures are available. So this is open to the community. Anybody who is interested can come and attend, and that's on our School of Christian Thought website. But it's a tremendous opportunity for those who are interested in learning more about God and how to live more effectively.
Dr. Bates, we are delighted to have you here and appreciate so much your sweet spirit, and just know the Lord's going to use you in a tremendous way. You can learn more at hbu.edu/Christian Thought, hbu.edu, Christian Thought. And remember, connect to all the various social media platforms we have. Follow us on our YouTube channel, Houston Baptist University, LinkedIn, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. You will be able to find out just how many things, how a plethora of academic offerings are available for you to enrich you, no matter if you live in Houston or anywhere in this nation or outside of the U.S. Just as we close, give us, if you would, your vision for the School of Christian Thought in the next 2, 3, 4, 5 years.
Yeah. Well, as I got on the ground here and began to know what Houston's all about and its complexities, and then to learn our resources here at Houston Baptist, the idea of working out the implications of the Lordship of Jesus Christ began to take shape in terms of offering a Christ-centered biblical education that is for the church, that is for the academy, but is also for the city. And so the Christ-centered biblical education, we have phenomenal biblical scholars, we've already touched on that, but it's all focused on Christ. Mm-hmm. That is our central confession. But I want to see this worked out in the churches. Mm-hmm. And so we have the seminary, but I also want to reach into the pre-seminary students.
That's good.
So those who are struggling with the call of God, they're in churches, they're sitting in the pews, and they sense God leading them to lead somehow the church. So we want to bring them on campus. We're having a conference in February called Answering the Call. Answering the Call. It's for high school juniors and seniors who sense God's call. We want to get them on campus and have them meet with one another so they understand they're not some odd bird out and being lone rangers for Christ. That there are many who are struggling with this. And we're bringing in HBU alumni who have been in a lifelong ministry, who love HBU and who love the church. And so they're going to talk with them about all the varieties of ministry. So that's what I might call our pre-seminary. Then we have the seminary, so we're going to continue to pour into that and just develop the seminary fully and the partnerships and train leaders for the church. And then we want to reach out to the post-seminary. So we've got a lot of alumni who are out there laboring day by day, and you know how burdensome that can be.
Mm-hmm.
So we want to make sure they understand that they're not alone. So we want to put our shoulders by them and let them know we're walking with them, offering continuing education, offering encouragement, the ability to come and learn and to be refreshed. So that's the church angle. Then we also have the academy. So with our phenomenal classics program, we're going to help classical Christian schools through their professional development, help train their teachers in what it means to think Christianly, to approach the world as though Jesus Christ really is Lord. And then we're going to continue to develop our academic programs eventually into the doctoral level. And so that is to be continued. And then the city. So sometimes non-traditional ministry requires non-traditional education. And so we're developing in our MATS program, the Master's of Arts in Theological Studies, and then the Master's of Arts in Christian Leadership, the ability to take 12 hours of our electives, open electives, and use it to get a graduate certificate.
Mm-hmm.
So our graduate schools offer graduate certificates, which are 12 hours. So you can deal with drug addiction, mm-hmm. deal with human sexuality. Mm-hmm. So those ministries that deal with the inner city, the poverty, those that deal with drug addiction, those that deal with human trafficking, so they can get this deep theological education made practical in these graduate certificates. And so that's reaching out into the city, trying to find ways in which we can get creative in helping people minister in the name of Jesus Christ.
And just before we go, tell us about your family.
All right. Yeah, I have a great wife. She is an entrepreneur. She is an incredibly gifted lady, the most competent human being I think I've ever met. Mm-hmm. She just works so very hard. She's a loving mom, a loving wife, and just a phenomenal human being. She challenges me every day. I got three incredible kids. My daughter is a strength and conditioning coach at the Mississippi State University in Starkville. She's a graduate assistant there working on a master's degree. My son, older son, is at the University of Mary Hardin Baylor. He's played football for them for a little while and now is preparing to be a football coach in high school.
Good.
So through the Fellowship of Christian Athletes, he's caught a vision of the impact a coach can make on the lives of young people. Then my youngest son is a biology major at Point Loma Nazarene University out in San Diego. So we left one in California. He surfs after class almost every day and just loves the ocean, loves the beach.
So yeah.
I don't feel sorry for him at all. Every morning he looks out at the Pacific Ocean.
Yeah.
So it's a beautiful place. But those are my kids.
Oh, what a great family. Mm-hmm. Dr. Bates, it's a joy to have you at HBU, the Dean of the School of Christian Thought. You can connect more with Dr. Bates at hbu.edu/Christian Thought. Don't hesitate to reach out to him. And remember, theological excellence comes with that obedience to Paul's admonition. Study to show yourself approved unto God, rightly dividing the word of truth. We're grateful to have you and look forward to what's going to happen in the days ahead.
Likewise, good to be here.
Here at HBU, we influence the culture around us by challenging our students to put their beliefs into action every day.